Good morning. This is the ICANN Finance Update session in the Regatta Room in Toronto at, Wednesday, October 17th, 2012, 11 a.m. session. We'll be starting in a couple minutes.
So I think we're going to start to not delay further this meeting. Thank you for attending this meeting, either in person or remotely. I'm Xavier Calvez, the CFO of ICANN. We have probably just as many people on remote participation as around this table. There's more seats at the table if you would like, for those of you who are a little bit further away. Thank you, everyone, for attending. Thank you for to George Sadowski and Sébastien Bachelet, board members, board finance committee members, to be present for this presentation. It definitely demonstrates, I think, the importance in the attention that the board puts on the budget process. So thank you for your presence. There's a number of staff members as well in the room that are interested and also demonstrate their support in making this process a successful one for the organization. There's a bit more people coming in. This session has a relatively short number of slides, and of course, we will ensure that towards the end of this presentation, we allow for questions and comments both remotely and from the room. And I will let now Janice walk us through this presentation. Our suggestion is that if you have questions, if you wouldn't mind, please holding them on and writing them down so that then we bring them up at the time once we're done with these slides, so that we have a more efficient meeting in case some of your questions may be answered in the subsequent slides. So Here's the floor to Janice. While she's setting up the mic, I want to thank Janice, Abba, and Maya, who are both remotely in Playa Vista in our offices, whose work is reflected in those slides, along with the one of all the community members who participated to this exercise.
Just want to say, who's ever rambling at the door, we really encourage you to come in. We actually like people to walk in. So welcome, everybody, once again, and to those remotely participating, welcome. I'll be performing both duties of remote participation manager and assisting with the presentation. What I'd like to tell everyone in the room and on remote, please let us go through the entire presentation first. We promise to make it short and an overview, as most of you have been involved in this process, as it should be. So this should be a lot of information you already know. But please do hold your questions mentally or write them down until we complete the presentation. And at that time, we'll open, and I'll make sure that those remotely get an equal opportunity to do that. A reminder that when you do ask a question for the live stream and the transcript, if you would please state your name and your affiliation, that would be great. Thank you so much. So we just want to go over the agenda, and I have to have my pal here do the update up here. There. So what we're going to do today is basically take a summary of the community ad hoc working sessions that we have been engaged in from the Prague meeting right up until several weeks ago. For those who are not aware, we did an open work session in Prague with the supporting organizations, advisory committees, and stakeholder group leaders or their delegates. And we had volunteers out of that session who wanted to work further with the finance team in helping to strengthen the FY14 budget process. We'll then talk the proposed FY14 framework development and draft ops plan, and then have community discussion and feedback, followed by the next steps. All set. So, again, just an overview for those who were not involved in the sessions. We split at the Prague meeting, at the end of the Prague working session, we decided to split into three separate ad hoc groups. One would focus on budget planning process from a strategic viewpoint, not to be confused with strategic planning in the overall sense of ICANN, but being more strategic in our planning overall. The second group was to work on the timeline of the budget process, especially from the community standpoint, taking their needs into consideration. The third group was structure and content of the budget. We had multiple interactions. We had three conversations per each ad hoc group, and we really had a very successful participation from the community and from the staff as well. The revised process proposal, which we worked on with the community, which we previewed and engaged with the community leaders from the ad hoc groups on this past Sunday, will now be shown to you in its very simple form, understanding there's more work to come. And here at the Toronto meeting, we're going to take a look at that model. Just to put it in a visual place for everyone and also to talk the points. In strategic planning, we talked about clarity. I think that's a word that's going to be heard, another buzzword. We're probably going to get our fill of clarity in process. We had many comments from the community that your strategic plan has objectives. We need for your operating plan to have objectives. We need to understand very clearly what it is that you, the staff, want we, the community, to comment on and be engaged in. Be clear in your process and in our interactions. Pre-plan. We're a busy community, and we need for you to look ahead, calendar, and set an agenda so that we can share with our community groups and we can all be prepared together. And, of course, the linking to the strategic plan. And the process we want to say, we want to work on a process that can work no matter what transitions are happening in the current structure of ICANN. There will always be a strategic plan, there will always be an operating plan, and there needs to be a link between the two. The timeline, we're talking planned and structured interactions, which ties into the pre-planned interactions. Clarity in time commitment, not just for those working with us in a day-to-day through the wikis, through the webinars, but also for the community at large, not the at-large community, but the community at large, who we need to be able to give the time to go through documents and process. And they need to know what kind of time they need to commit. Next is an expanded budget development time. You know, we need to provide the community with the time that they need in order to really understand the basics of the framework, especially the framework. Lastly, we're going to front-load community input. Those who have been involved in the budget process are well aware that by the time we get to the posting of the ops plan, there seems to be no time to comment. So we said, okay, let's listen, let's front-load your input so we can get clarity sooner.
Logistical comment, this session is also translated for those of you who are in the room in French and Spanish. I will not speak French because I think not everybody has put on their headsets, but they are, so I will be speaking French a little bit for the translators. Donc, ces groupes de travail.
So those working groups were created after Prague. After Prague meeting, we created three working groups, and we wanted to concentrate our efforts on those three topics, and it became quite clear in the last 3 months, it became quite clear that those topics are so interconnected, are so linked one to the other and influence one and the other, so that in the future we're going to regroup those three topics in one budget process. So the interaction with the community will be done in a simplified manner, one group, all the topics being treated from the beginning to the end. I wanted to give you a precision. Those groups were created in Prague after a process that enabled us to look at all the comments that came from the community on the budget process through the public comment process. Those comments that you can find are coming from the working groups. They are not new comments. Many comments were already made by the community one way or the other, coming from different organizations, many times. The issue that we had that was difficult for us is to take into account all those comments in order to extract improvements out of those comments, to come up with improvements. In the past, it got quite difficult. We have to use this process and put them into action and to correct what we were doing. I think this is something quite new since Prague. Those working groups worked hard and gave a lot of time, and they're coming up with solutions. That's what we're going to look at, those solutions.
I understood all of that quite clearly. Thank you. Yeah, the 5 years of high school French is really working out for me. This is why I work with Xavier. He's going to help me improve that. Just finishing up on the structure and content, because I think it's very important to say our intent is that working with the community in this improved budget process model will make it so that by the time we get to posting of any of the budget documents, there are no surprises. You know, everyone is aware and has been part of the process. That doesn't mean everyone will have agreed with the outcome, but they certainly will have had the opportunity to have their community's voice heard and have the input. We think that's extremely important work that came out of these ad hoc groups. And lastly, we want to take into account the community's expectations, because we need to manage the expectations of the community and they of staff. So we felt this was very important in our process, and we thank the community for these points of input. To just take a look at the overall planning process as this works out, again, just showing the three-year view of the strategic plan, which you also can understand from Fadi's presentation on Monday, the words objectives and goals. We're working hard to make sure that we utilize terminology that is consistent from the strategic plan to the operating plan and, of course, for Fadi's overall vision, so there's no confusion in terminology. The framework, again, we will always, no matter what slight adjustments are being made to a process in the strategic plan, the framework will include input from the strategic plan to link it. The framework also includes programs and projects and the input from the community into those programs and projects. The operating plan will become a more detailed look at that information. Throughout those three documents and the development of those documents, there will be continual interaction with the community and the board, which, of course, includes the Board Finance Committee. So the arrows go back and forth to show that we intend to do that. Xavier?
So here, this interaction, we want to make sure it is interaction and not just publishing information and gathering comments through a long cycle. It needs to be interaction, and we will talk further about that aspect of that interaction. But overall, strategic plan is an input into the budget process, and as the strategic planning process evolves, we will ensure that there's an adequate synchronization between the strategic planning process and the budget process. And we feel that there is further improvements that can be made on that front, and we are expecting to make adjustments to that specific aspect of the process down the road with the changes in the strategic planning process that we're expecting to occur. The public comment is obviously an absolutely necessary tool. This is ICANN's DNA in the works, right? We need to ensure that everyone has access to the information and everyone has a voice on the budget process. So the public comment process is obviously there to stay. We count on it to hear the voice of the community. But also, in addition to the public comment, and that's what we had little to not in the past, is we need to be able to recognize that the budget is a technical material. It's not a simple document, or it's also not a subject that can easily be supported by a policy development type of process. It's a subject that requires a lot of interaction and back and forth to get into the data, to be able to look and validate the data, and conclude on it. So the public comment process is necessary, useful, important. It's not sufficient to help us go through this process adequately so that we do get adequate input from the community and can reflect that input adequately as well.
Great, and we'll move to the next slide.
So just a quick recap of the major steps of the process. So the framework gets built from strategic planning input and from a definition of the activities, the programs, the projects that the organization carries out. You may start recognizing some vocabulary that we have been using since Monday with Fadi's presentation on his management delivery system. And we're going to sync ourselves through that management system. We'll talk more about it. So this is an input in the framework. The framework leads into then a more detailed formulation of the activities, programs, and projects with a refined scope, a refined timeline, and a refined formulation of resources at a more detailed level. So now this is the cost of each staff member. It's the formulation of the categories of professional services and consultants and all the overhead costs and so on. And that leads into the final draft of the ops plan and budget that has been published in the past around early May. Just an overall recap. This is a little bit of a more detailed recap. So, and I recognize the slide is a bit busy, but it was helpful to the working groups to lay out on one slide through a timeline the major phases, because that's where a lot of the conclusions came out on these working groups. And I'll focus on this slide on the major change that I think we need to highlight out of this process versus the past year's process. What we need to be able to do is expand the phase of the process where the input and interaction with the community can happen. And we need to be able to bring up that phase of interaction, make it happen earlier than it used to be, so that the interaction that leads to input from the community and potential changes and adjustments to the budget can be effectively done because it's provided sufficiently early in the process. The issue that we've had so far is that the public comment process, that was the mechanism to gather comments from the community, was concluding around mid-June, let's say, approximately. From mid-June to the board approval on the 25th of June, there was barely the time to just consolidate the comments, have a quick look at them, put them in a spreadsheet, and try to publish something, which is what we've done at the end of June. We've done a first look at the comments, tried to address them, but the process and the timeline never allowed to take those comments into account to revise that budget process and that budget outcome, because it's finalized. You can't change the result of a 9 months process in 2 days. Never going to happen. So what we've allowed ourselves with those working groups is take that comment, those comments that came through towards May and June, which again was fairly similar to the one that came through in the past years, and now taking that input and try to revise the process so that we adapt ourselves. So the bottom line is, we're going to expand the framework phase to make it longer, provide through that phase in sequence more information than we have in the past, more detailed and granular information than we have in the past on the activities, the projects, the programs of the organization, so as to enable the community members to be able to assess these activities, to understand these activities in these programs, and be able to formulate comments on the adequacy, the formulate questions as well to, for clarification, and understand whether a project is a 2 months exercise with one supporting staff, or is an 18 months subject with 20 community members and 15 staff and a complex process. Those two different pictures are things that need to come out of the information that we provide. We will describe more precisely the first view of the information that we think is necessary to provide during that phase of the framework. So some of the staff who's in the room is already starting to worry because, don't you, Maggie? Because we are going to ask the staff through that phase to formulate quite early more information, more detailed information. And you can see that this is going to happen basically from now until about mid-February. And therefore, the staff is going to be asked to look at between 6 and 18 months ahead. Right, we're talking about fiscal year 14, so it's the fiscal year that starts in July and finishes in July 2013 and finishes in June 2014. Some of that is quite far away, but that's what a forecasting and budgeting exercise is about. So a lot more information needs to be provided upfront during that phase so as to enable the community members to have sufficient information to formulate opinions and adequately formulated opinions on the basis of the information provided. That also means, of course, that we enable that interaction, that we enable the community to receive the information, to have sufficient time to work on it, analyze it, and provide us with feedback. And sufficiently often so that we can take this input and amend the content of the budget to either clarify or change directions as a result of the interaction with the community. At the end of that phase, the draft operating plan becomes the more detailed translation at the item level, at the cost line item level, of that plan that's been formulated through the framework. It's just making it a little bit more detailed. It's the bottom-up exercise that we'll complete. But there should not be, to Janice's point earlier, there should not be any surprises coming out of that draft operating plan versus what's been formulated at the end of the framework. It should also make, therefore, the public comment, at least for those organizations who will have participated to the development of the budget, it should also allow these organizations to have a less substantial amount of input on the substance and probably more on just reconciling that what is in the final budget corresponds effectively to what was designed during the development of the framework.
Xavi, if I can, I just want to make 3 points. One, going back to the ad hoc working groups, I think I should mention this. It's really important. At the end of working on a PDP, at the end of working on an official working group, this ad hoc process, for me, it's the first time I've gone through this kind of experience with the community. And I just have to say it was refreshing to be able to work together and be honest. I mean, we were able as staff to be honest and say we really couldn't get everything completed that you wanted us to. And I don't think we really knew how to raise our hand because we're so used to just taking what you ask and saying, okay, let me just get on the treadmill and let me just try to do this. And for me, it was very refreshing to have that open conversation and be able to admit from a community or a staff standpoint, you know, trust us, it's not working that well for us either. You know, and so we really appreciate all the efforts and the honesty that went into this relationship and really looking forward to working together again with some same familiar faces and some new ones to do the same again. Secondly, just to point out also expectations I just talked about, and that is for staff. So that's why I wanted to mention when you said it. when we say detail, we need to be very clear to the community and to the staff the level of detail. That's a great word. But as we're going into this process, this is an evolution. And I think we're striving to be better and better, but we need to be careful about those expectations and what you as a community hear when we say more detail in the framework, what the staff feels that they can manage that early on for more detail and work together during this first time out in the framework to understand what that is. We are committing to it. We are believing in it. But I think we need to manage that expectation of the word details at the high level. The third thing I want to mention before we leave the timeline is the SOAC and stakeholder group special requests. So this will be year three for this process. I think we need to note that we are no longer tying that process to the framework or, in a sense, to the operating plan. It will be published at the time of the operating plan, but the idea is the same as with the framework and the draft ops plan and budget. We will have continual interaction. We will help the community to define their requests so that they can understand early on, okay, this won't be possible, and here's why. Here's how we can change it. Here's how we can modify it. Here's how you can get what you need in a way that we can deliver. So I really want to point that out to Johnny because I know that's near and dear to your heart. And when we finish the presentation, if you have any comment, I'd be happy to hear it. Xavier?
Thank you. I won't expand on this. I think we have already described what we intend to do there on the framework in the previous slide. But this just recaps the notion of having multiple interaction on at several occasions through the development of the framework. And that's something that we will see in the next steps need to be defined and finalized further. But that's the basically the conclusions of the working groups that have happened. Let me move on. So this slide is really aiming at providing two different messages. One, that what we need to make sure we enable is that the information of the framework is very consistent in terms of its structure, its design, its labeling to what will be in the draft budget at the end. We have struggled in the past in changing formats, changing a little bit the linguistics, the structure, and as a result making the work of the community members who have looked at the framework and then looked at the draft budget a bit more complicated because it was difficult to match one with the other. And so we need to ensure we manage that adequately now, and we're going to ensure first that the format is the same, but the structure of the data is also the same. So what the difference will be is, of course, in the level of detail that the information is being produced in both documents. So we will increase the level of detail in the framework. But this level of detail versus prior years, sorry, and the level of detail in the draft budget will be a little bit higher than in the framework, and we will also need to make adjustments, I think, versus what we have produced in the draft budget in the past as well, and the input of the community on that, certainly a number of the members of the community on that, is already available, and we'll continue to seek it. Quick image of you know, part of the development of the framework and the link to the strategic planning is we've taken here an example of strategic objective, and we've picked engaged new stakeholders and we've translated that in what a program could be with a number of projects underneath. So a program that supports engaging new stakeholders is an outreach initiative, and that outreach initiative has different components under it, which we're displaying here as a matter of example. And we will continue drilling down into the structure of the data in the subsequent slides. So, either for a core activity, which we can call a function, or basically what I would describe, generally speaking, as the day-to-day work, as well as for programs and projects, we believe that the information that's necessary to enable the community to formulate assessments and opinions on the content of the budget requires that each of those activities or programs are described with an objective, a timeline, and that objective, by the way, just to elaborate a little bit on that, could, combined with a timeline, display the milestones of that project, the main steps of that project, because it enables the understanding of what the project is about. So, objective, timeline, what the metrics are for that for the success of that project, what the deliverables are outside of that project or that activity, and what the resources are. Resources, can translate that into budget, but it's a little bit more general than budget, right? Resources is also headcount. And as you may remember, we are not currently including the cost of the staff into the overall cost of a project today, which is why I want to emphasize that for a project or a program, the external costs associated with that project is what we need to put in that resource bucket, as well as an assessment of the number of resources assigned to that project, measured by a full-time equivalent criteria, for example. As part of the next steps, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but as part of the next steps, what I want to make sure we manage to get quickly from those of you who will like to provide feedback is that sufficient? How does that work effectively? So we're going to try to formulate an example of templates, circulate it with a number of you to get feedback on how adequate that example is. Because right now you can see this information, but once it's translated to an example, it will be a little bit more tangible to determine whether it's sufficient or not. And we came out of with this suggestion out of the meeting on Sunday where with the input that notably Chuck was providing to us then. Chuck Gomez. Thank you. So moving on, let's take an example of the DNS ops department. You can see here translating this notion of core activities and projects and programs and trying to formulate those objectives, timeline, metrics, deliverables, and resources. For some of those activities or projects, the metrics and the deliverables sometimes are the same, meaning that the project is a success once the deliverable has actually been produced. And that's the metric to measure the success of the deliverable. But of course, as part of the metrics, you can also have progress of the project along its path. Here, I want to take a pause to remind everyone of the presentation that Fadi made on Monday morning. We will, of course, start implementing quickly in our in the way we work inside the organization. Start implementing the overall management delivery system that Fadi has laid out on Monday morning. And that will require that we translate a certain amount of information that we were presenting either from a departmental standpoint or from a functional view standpoint to this management delivery system. And the great advantage of doing that, of course, is that not only is it a way to produce the information for the budget, but this is also how we are going to monitor our activities, including from a financial standpoint, on a go-forward basis. So there will be a 100% match between the way we budget and the way we monitor. So comparing actuals with budget will become a much more natural and simple exercise. So this sounds a little bit idealistic. There's a huge amount of work to get accomplished in the next few weeks and months on that subject. And we're going to struggle through it, but this is the right thing to do, and this is where we need to go. So it will also be, and I want to emphasize this because this is extremely important, it will be easier for us as an organization to be transparent on what we do and how much it costs, because there will be a consistency between the processes and the structure of how we budget and how we account and how we report. And this will become a full cycle of budgeting, looking ahead, operating, delivering, and reporting. And we need to close this cycle to make it turn incomplete. And we have not done that yet. You may remember Fadi mentioning on Monday the four execution objectives and its 16 execution goals. So here, the management delivery structure will fit under those objectives and goals, and this is the basis for further breakdown of those objectives and goals, which will be the pattern that we will retain to formulate the budget and the actual costs on a go-forward basis. You may remember the four execution objectives, the 16 goals, four per each objective. If you paid attention and you remember the numbers from the presentation on Monday morning, unless I'm mistaken, I think there's 55 initiatives that fit under these 16 goals. That's the third layer that is not apparent on this slide, but I just remind everyone with. The fourth layer is 150 programs that fit under those 55 initiatives. And this is the structure of the data that we will live with on a go-forward basis for budget, for actuals, and for a lot of the monitoring of the activity. As a side note, the formulation of this management system or management delivery system was music to my ears when we shared it with Fadi. This is a great tool for us in finance to be able to work, to have accountability, to facilitate transparency about what we do, and make our lives easier on reporting as well. I think that we've already talked a fair bit about this. This is how things will look in the future. Trying to break down the management delivery system and those functions by those goals and those objectives and assign numbers to them. Next steps. We need to finalize the mechanisms of the interaction with the community. Calls, Adobe Rooms, documents, timelines, so that we can finalize the budget process and start quickly laying out the schedule of that interaction, as well as finalizing the formats of the information that we intend to share and interact on so that we can move forward with it quickly. we didn't mention it here, but that also includes refining the SONAC additional budget request process, which we have, I would say, a straw man from last year on, but we need to refine it further. Let me stop here. Thanks, everyone, for the attention you've provided to this presentation. And now we open up the floor for questions or comments. Chris Chaplow.
Thank you. Chris Chaplow from the business constituency. While you were talking in French, Xavier, it gave me a chance to reflect a little. And I was just thinking about the ad hoc groups, and a phrase came to mind: never in the history of ICANN has so much been achieved by so few for so many. But seriously.
Thank you for that. It also shows that you can multitask. You can listen to French, translate it in English, and do something else at the same time.
Well, I wasn't able to get the phrase exactly off Wikipedia, so anyway. But seriously. And obviously the influence of the new CEO has come in and sort of either overtaken or overtaken this and pushing from behind. Just one little point, and it wasn't my main point. You mentioned that the cost of staff is not in the projects, and that's fine, but from trying to put the jigsaw pieces together, it's always been a question in our minds, is it or isn't it? So if it is, it's always helpful to state it, and if it isn't, it isn't. You know, whichever way, it doesn't matter, but if it's stated, then it does help.
Understood.
Yeah. I was just looking at the management delivery system, and I was wondering, is that the software that was the Microsoft Dynamics GP system that's been mentioned a while ago that's coming online, or is it something, has that been thrown out, and is this something new, or is it a system in the general sense and not a software? If you could just elaborate a little. Thanks.
Sure. So what we have presented here is a conceptual picture of how we're going to track information. Not to go too much in the details, some of us in the staff can tell you that it started with an Excel spreadsheet. We are working on finding an adequate system to support this and manage it. A system that will help us display that structure and go to the next level of detail, which will be activities and tasks, and use that new system that we're defining as the tool to actually monitor and interact. And a Fadi or an Akram will be able to go in that system and say, okay, I want to see everything that's happening on IDNs. And he will have all the functions, all the projects, their status, who's accountable for them, where are we on it, green lights, orange light, red lights, and ultimately financial information as well. So that's a concept, that's a reality, and it will become a system quickly. It is not the accounting system. It is a management system. And, of course, the next step for us will be to plug in the two together, right? The accounting system and the management system. There's a lot more information from an accounting standpoint in the accounting system. There will be a lot more information in the management system about projects and functions and so on than there will be in the accounting system, but the two will need to be completely synchronized and plugged in. I don't want to have to even think about, and this is for Ed, our IT guy, who's somewhere here, I don't want to have to reconcile anything. It has to be automated and smooth. So we'll work on that. And Ed, I know, has already that in mind.
And if I could, I'd like to read from our Adobe Connect room. Kevin Wilson, CFO, Donuts. Thanks for the great progress on the budget development process. My first comment is, congratulations to Xavier and the finance team for completing the year-end audit on time and, in fact, early. No easy task with so many competing demands of your time. I was especially heartened to see, for the first time in the new GTLD segment, it was broken out in the footnotes. One very important part of the budget is a separate new GTLD budget. I know everyone knows that the GTLD program is designed by policy to be revenue cost neutral, meaning that any surplus is not to be used for the general ICANN operations. Thus, the way that these costs are categorized is critical for the calculation of the surplus. These calculations are very important, especially for the new GTLD applicants, including donuts. We want to make sure that your process results in transparent, accurate, and fair financial reports. Can you share your plans to ensure this?
So, thank you for this comment. I will try to give you a reasonably short answer to it and remind, as a result of that comment and question, to everyone what we said over the past few months. We have created in our accounting systems two different virtual segments, one for the ICANN operations and one for the new GTLD program. The two combined together create the financial statements of the corporation. That's from an accounting tracking standpoint. I'll come back to that because I think that's what Kevin's question is. As a reminder, we also have different bank accounts. Bank accounts for the ICANN operations that are separate and different for the new GTLD program, and we don't commingle the two together. Any transfer of cost, and I'll come back to that again, any transfer of cost between those two components of the ICANN activity are the subject of a bank transfer. We make a payment from the ICANN new GTLD bank account to the ICANN operations bank account when is required. So there is a very tangible, traceable support for any transfer between the two programs. So let me come back on the accounting for a second. What is under the new GTLD program is information that's very specific to the program. So application fees, we have very specific budget line items and procurement line items from our procurement system relative to the new GTLD program. We have very dedicated personnel who's supporting the new GTLD program. That's the new GTLD team. They are in one department. That department is the only one that is accounted for under the new GTLD program. Then after that, we have overheads, which is the result of an allocation of costs and time that also is allocated to the new GTLD program through the mechanism of transfer that I indicated before. So a cost in the ICANN operations, let's say a proportion of my time, for example, is part of this overhead allocation, is formulated on a monthly basis, is recorded in the accounting system as a transfer between the ICANN operations and the new GTLD program, and is the subject of a bank payment so that we keep track of that even more so tangibly than just in the accounting system. Ensuring that the costs that are that are applied against the new GTLD program then becomes a lot easier because they're always very specific. And there's no confusion between accounts between the accounting accounts in the accounting system because it's two separate entities. So what is going to come out of the new GTLD program in terms of cost is a very specific identified list of items that's actually relatively limited. It's big numbers, but it's relatively limited list of items and are very specifically identified and very specifically supported. Other questions? Raimondo, you can formulate it in French if you would like.
Or in Spanish.
And in Spanish as well. Please don't do both at the same time. But
No, I would do it in English anyhow. It's something that the... Well, just for the record, because many many people in the room that don't happen to know who is Kevin Wilson. He used to be the CFO of ICANN. and the question he raises is to some extent the same I have been making since San Jose. It's related to the a part of the question he raised. The fact that there is a strong commitment to return to the ICANN the historical cost. And the question I mentioned, and I haven't had the year still now, a proper answer to that, is number one, which is the real amount of the historical cost? Because the last estimation was made, if I'm correct, in September 2010. And there were a lot of expenditures, historical costs, after September 2010. So I asked if we could have an audited amount of that, and that's the first part of the question. And the second one is that I think that the way in which the fee was calculated, the 185K was calculated at that moment. Kevin Wilson was the CFO, and I was the chair of the finance committee. So both of us we know exactly how that was calculated, it's absolutely clear that the historical cost should be returned to ICANN immediately after receiving the money. So I would like to know when the amount. And then when it will be returned.
Yes. Okay. So, and as Raimondo, thank you, has indicated, we have discussed these subjects before. So, and I indicated, I think, either in San Jose or in Prague or in both, that we were working on translating this estimate in a finalized number, in that these numbers would be audited probably, this is not confirmed yet, but probably by our current independent auditors in a similar fashion than they do their audit, though it's a specific type of exercise because it's a multi-year exercise. But the estimates of those costs, which you're referring to, which I think from memory is at $32.4 million, accumulated over several years, is at this stage only an estimate, and we have basically gone back to recreate the translation of what those estimates were, because those estimates had been formulated, of course, ahead of time, and now we need to put the actuals in front of those estimates, and that's the exercise that's undergoing. It's a complicated exercise because we're looking at 5 or 6 years back, from memory, October 2007, unless I'm mistaken. So it's a bit of a complicated exercise, but of course it needs to be done. This is a large amount of money. On the timing of the repayment, so the timing of the repayment is connected or is dependent, which I don't think was identified before, is connected to the ability to have finalized the list of refunds as well, just because the amount of refunds reduces, of course, the available application fees collected, because we're refunding some of them. And those refunds also happen throughout the period of evaluation. So the numbers are sufficiently large that there is a likelihood that even though there would be refunds, there would be a sufficient amount of money to effectively retrocede the costs incurred by the ICANN operations in the past, basically that have been taken away from the reserve fund of ICANN, to retrocede those accounts to ICANN. So the issue is that the timing is not as simple, unfortunately, as immediately at the end of the application period, that the repayment can be done. It's going to have to wait a bit that we can finalize the perspective of the refunds so that we ensure that there is an adequate amount of money for repayment of historical cost. This is further explained in a document that I was hoping to have been by now able to publish, which is the Revenue and Expense Recognition Policy. It's a position paper that we have built and are having reviewed by now a second audit firm to ensure that it's adequate. Our auditors have reviewed it and have no problem with it. As can be attested by their independent report that's been published 2 weeks ago. And we're having a second audit firm looking at that policy, and that will be further detailed in there. So I'm hoping to be able to publish that document for review by the community in those weeks subsequent to completing that second review. It's a bit of a technical document. There are a lot of accounting jargon in it, but nonetheless, that's where it's laid out.
Yeah, to Johnny, and then Kevin, we'll come back to your next question. Alain, you'll be in line behind.
Thank you, Janice. Even if Xavier didn't have the courage to continue in French, I will speak French.
This is a comment regarding what Janice said. Okay, so I would like to comment what Janice said. I would like to thank her for what she said because it was an important precision. And she said that we had to be careful when we set details at the higher level, when we mentioned these high-level details. She's completely right. It's what I said during our last session, and the high level contradicts detail. So we cannot expect to have details at the framework level. It'll always be at the higher level. And I completely agree with her. That's why I said earlier that it's better to have more time to draft the budget and maybe less time for the framework. So we would have more comments on more details. Secondly, she also said that the community's additional request will not be added to the framework. I understand. It's normal, I think. It'll be annexed to the framework and it will be added to the budget once it's been drafted. Thank you.
I don't know in which language to respond because I don't speak Spanish. I only know insults in Spanish, so I can't do that. Because so obviously I'm responding in English. I think there is a language issue in the point that you're raising. When we say, and you're going to correct me, I think, but when we say high level of detail, it's not high-level information and therefore not detail. It's a more granular level of detail. Okay, so the framework, we intended to provide in the framework more detail, so in sufficient detail, so as to enable the community to provide input that they were only relying on the draft budget later on to provide before. So the condition of this working is that the level of detail is sufficiently granular so that there's enough information to provide comment. And then it does make sense to expand the framework so that we, first of all, it needs to be produced, and it's not going to be a simple task. Second, if it is there, then we want to be able to interact with the community on it. So we need to expand the framework process so that this production of data and interaction with the community can happen. So it's not a high-level detail, which would be contradictory. It's a higher level of detail, a more granular amount of information provided during the framework.
And Chuck, not disregarding the two people in the queue, but did you have anything to add to that from the ad hoc group?
No, I think Xavier covered it very well. I'll real quickly, just to rehash, because you were on the same group I was on the timeline, and what you expressed was the same concern that I and Byron had expressed, and then it was explained what Xavier just said, which is another way of attacking the problem so that we have enough information to comment, get responses, interact, and so forth. So I don't think I have any more besides that.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Kevin remote and then allow you're next in line. Kevin Wilson, CFO Donuts. Clearly, there will be a significant surplus because of the contingencies built into the original cost estimates for the $185,000 application fee for the new GTLDs. The number of applications received must give great opportunities to spend efficiently. Do you agree that the $350 million received will, in the end, net down to a significant surplus, acknowledging that you cannot be 100% confident? Thank you for that.
You want to make your comments, Sebastian, before? I will respond.
I want to make a comment. We are here to discuss process. And I think it's a very good question, very important question, but it's not the room to do that. We need to stick on our agenda. The agenda is to set up the framework, and that could be asked in the forum, in the public forum tomorrow, for example, but not here. Just stick on the of the schedule, please.
So I was going to say that as well, so I don't have to say it anymore. The only thing, and George Sadowski is also in the queue to make a comment on that. Anyway, I would not be able to formulate an answer the way the question is formulated. We have already answered on the notion of a surplus, and I cannot commit on something that is not possible to commit on at this stage. But the one thing I can commit to is to have another discussion more specific with Kevin on the subject with another staff member as per our new GTLD communication requirements. I think George had a point to make.
Well, the point I wanted to make is I'm also on the Finance Committee, and I agree completely with Sebastian. He made my comment.
Thank you, George. Alain?
Merci beaucoup, Xavier.
Thank you very much, Xavier.
In French, but for the sake of timing and accuracy of words in this English presentation, I will do it in English. I'd like to refer to slide 15 of 16 on the new budget data structure. And I'm really impressed because less than 3 weeks ago, I got, like all other constituency heads, I got a phone call from Fadi to explain to me these his priorities in the next budget. And lo and behold, I look at the new budget data structure and I see the four execution objectives as being exactly what he said and explained to me. And to others in similar conversation. But he did add a fifth very important point for me, is that he was absolutely amazed at how constituencies were able to deliver everything they deliver with a few tools like a wiki and email, and a wish and a hope. And he said this would change. So when I look at the up and down structure, I see management delivery. And if in a fit of innovation, I would have loved to see a second block called community delivery. And of course, I presume the older way of doing things, or the current way of doing things, would have a community delivery budget lines embedded or sub-embedded in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 management delivery systems. So by not a criticism, Xavier, as you know, I mean this to be positive, but I think there would be, if there was as much clarity on what is expected out of community delivery through the various organizations, if it was as clear as the execution objectives, we would be further ahead. I don't know if this is a technical problem or a mindset problem or issue.
Thank you, Alain, for this comment, which is very fundamental, I think. So just one quick clarification. When we say management delivery, this is a management delivery system, not the delivery of the management of ICANN. So the reason I'm saying that is because on GTLD registry and registrar, or on organization support, or on stakeholder support, the management system, and you haven't seen the granularity of it, but you've seen only the 16, 4x4 objectives and goals, will display activities that the community participates to. So, I mean, a lot of those projects are, we're all in together, right? So what has never been captured in the past and is currently not, is, to your point, the other part of the resources that are contributing to delivering those functions and projects, which is the community input. We could say, in the resources that we lay out for the budget process in the finance department, for example, there is that many internal staff and that many community hours. Because when Chuck and yourself and Tijani and Raimondo and Chris have been working with the others on the working groups, that was time. That was an hour or an hour and a half of phone call. That was that many hours before of looking at documents, that many hours after of putting conclusions. It's a lot of time. And it's not accounted for in the corporation's financial statement. So you and I have exchanged emails on this subject. I said I will look at the accounting technical question of how, if and how can the work of the community be taken into account from an accounting and technical standpoint. There are ways to do it. It's a quite big question, because it's really trying to effectively measure the contribution of the community in the work that ICANN as a community does. And I don't view ICANN staff and the community on the other. We're all in this together. The boundaries is just, we're dedicated to it, and everyone is trying to contribute to it. So there are ways to do that. I will investigate it further. I think there's a technical answer, and there's a much more philosophical answer to the question as well. Go ahead.
In hot pursuit of that, if I may, if you allow me, I think it is interesting to blend in the estimate of community FTEs as essentially stakeholders' volunteer time. I'm thinking about the actual financial support or technical support that the staff gives to the community. And it would be nice, from my point of view, to see that embedded at this eye level of the data structure. Okay, so because it speaks to equality, but it also speaks to a mindset. If it stares you in the face, that, you know, there's no secret that constituencies are short of resources. And sometimes we fail in trying to achieve our objectives because we are not able to have the time and the resources to process. And there are reputational risks to that. And it's not a complaint situation. It's really trying to. I understand it's a difficult issue, and mindsets don't get changed that quickly. But I urge you to think about. I know you are thinking about it. I just wanted to make the point that I see instances where. And it's more lack of resources or shortage of resources rather than accounting for shortage of resources. But there are reputational risks to the constituencies not being properly funded at minimum levels.
Thank you, Alain. Just not trying to expand further on the subject, but to just throw in another twist at it. Rob Hogarth, who's sitting two rows behind you, can attest that he and I talked about a notion of customer service in our organization, and customer in the sense of stakeholders, right? So that we have an approach to our work that's really that has the ability to really focus end to end on a customer focus. So I think. Raimondo had a point to make, and I think Chris is in the queue afterwards.
Still English, huh? But mainly because the word baseline I have to use in what I am saying. I don't know how. I don't know what's the translation in English or in French or in Spanish for baseline. But the point I want to make is that both in the framework and in the draft budget, there should be a clear separation about the baseline cost and the rest, which means that in baseline, I mean, there are costs that we cannot discuss them. Wages are wages, leases are leases, the payment of the historical costs. You have to do it if we want or we want not. So we should highlight the discussion only to the point that has to be discussed. And this is a very important separation. I mentioned that in the working group.
So Raimondo raises an important point that's been made also through the working groups, which is... partially philosophical, partially very practical. We need to recognize what really the community wants to look at, and what the community should be looking at. As Raimondo indicated, and as other members of the working groups indicated, the community does not want to look at every single thing, not at every single expense. The community needs to understand where the money is spent and ensure that it's correctly accounted for and understands how the money is allocated to what functions and activities. But we need to help the community and guide the input towards where it's most needed, which is on those projects and programs where there is significant decision-making required on what directions it should take, how it should be done, and so on. And there's a number of areas of expense that, to Raimondo's point, it just needs to happen, and there's not a lot of valuable discussion that are useful to happen during the budget process development, and that distract, by the way, the valuable time of the community spent on analyzing the budget to analyze a whole bunch of things that are not necessary. So we need to also refine the way we present the information so that we help the community focus its reviews on those items that matter most.
And we are winding down on time, so Chris, I do want to give you the floor before we have to break.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just following on from Alan's comments and acknowledging the the joint goal and also the SOAC support requests. I've brought with me to Prague the BC brochure, which we've done, the newsletter, which we've done on numerous occasions. This time it's better than ever, and thanks very much to ICANN for the support requests, which for the first time ICANN is supporting this brochure. So I've got to rush out to a BC meeting. I'll leave you a copy. I'll leave some copies here for everybody, and I've got a copy here for Xavier, and the invoice is inside, if that's all right. Thank you.
So it's a dedicated copy, then, a signed copy for me. Thank you.
Chuck, quick point.
Yeah, it's really a compliment to the finance team. I, like everyone else, I'm very thrilled with what Fadi has brought to the table and what he's doing that will complement what we've been working on. But I'd just like to compliment the financing team. You were well on this path before Fadi even came on board. And so I thank you for that and appreciate it very much.
Thank you. That's helpful feedback and well received by the team who's worked hard on it.
Abba, I hope you heard that applause. And Maya, if we just have 1 minute. Fatimata, I know you wanted to say something, so please.
Oh, thank you. This is Fatimata, but I think it was almost all said, but I just have a clarification question. By the way, thank you for the clarity of your presentation and the very well done work. It's within the framework content. You've listed 5 items: objective, timeline, metrics, deliverables, and resources. I think it wouldn't be bad to have the goal. I mean, the goal aimed at when we're in a project or a program. This is just for clarity. Or are you? I'm sure you've discussed this within the groups, maybe. Or are we just? Do we have to guess that we have to? I mean, the results are, you know, underlined in the deliverables and the metrics. So, wouldn't it be good to have the goals explicitly formulated?
Thank you. So I think one thing, just quickly, that we will try to do for each program and project is relate those 4 objectives, the 16 goals, and to map these activities and projects against that matrix, so it helps that. And I think as part of the 5 items that you reminded us of, the objective is where we're going to try to make that goal as well a little bit more explicit. But thank you for that input. That's helpful. With that, I think we are done on time. That's helpful. Thank you very much to everyone. Thank you for the members of the working groups that have worked very hard to get everyone here and to get that input, because this is, you know, there's 2 sides to the coin, and it's been a very collaborative exercise, and we need to continue that effort, I think. Thank you for the members of the working group who are also not here because of conflicts. Steve Metalitz participated, Paul Diaz, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc participated, and a number of others. Just want to remind everyone, not everybody is here around the table to talk about it. Thank you very much. This concludes our session on the budget process. Thank you.
I'm going to go off topic to everybody in the room. It's often that we have new members of our management staff come on board lately, since we've gone through such transition. I'd like just to introduce, and Ed, you're just going to kill me, note that Edward Beck, who's the new Vice President of Information Technology, is here in the back of the room. So if anyone hadn't met him yet or would like to go over and shake his hand and welcome him to the community, please feel free. Welcome, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. Ed is everyone's new best friend in ICANN, because he's going to provide system solution to everyone.